You're listening to Living Stones Community Church Podcast. For more information about Living Stones, just check out our website at lsccc.com. Have a great day. God bless. Good morning. We have a few things to hit first before we get started this morning. If you're new here to Living Stones, what I'm about to say may sound odd. We have a new stoner in the house. What we mean by that is that we've had a baby born, and so Alex and Kevin Zai brought Everly with us, and so if you could do a Simba hold, that'd be great. There's Everly. So Olivia is now a big sister, right? We're excited that you guys are here this morning, and just continue to pray as Pastor Dan is away this Sunday, and as he's on vacation, that he and his family would be refreshed, and so excited for them to be back, but just be praying for them. I think they're heading back either today or tomorrow, traveling, so just be praying for them. Also, if you did not get a note sheet that you got in your handout or a glow stick, you will need a glow stick today. So if you do not have a glow stick or a note sheet, hold your hand up, and we will make sure we'll get you a glow stick. If you're an adult and you're like, glow sticks are for children, not today. You need one. You need one. So if you do not have a glow stick, raise your hand, and we'll make sure we get one to you. Same with a note sheet. Just keep your hand raised, and we'll make sure that we get one to you. Well, if you don't know who I am, my name is Adam Kuntz. I'm the student and family pastor here at Living Stones, and I'm excited that Dan allows me just the opportunity to share my heart to you all, and I'm just excited to be here with you this morning. Last week, we started a little mini two-week series that we're calling Awaken, and we spent time last week in the passage of Ezekiel 37, and that's where we're going to be again this morning. So if you could turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, that's where we're going to be the remainder of the time. Ezekiel chapter 37. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles under the seats in front of you or around you, so you can snag one there. We'll also have the scriptures on the screen as we move along. Ezekiel 37. So some things that we discussed last week is that if we're completely honest, if we're completely gut-wrenchingly honest with ourselves, many of us in this room, majority, have a part of our hearts that are dead for the very same people that Jesus came alive for. If we're completely honest, our heart is dead towards the very people Jesus came alive for. And last week I told you all that I had a very interesting phone conversation last week. A friend called, and he started out the conversation like this. He said, "I'm a racist." That's how we started. I didn't say, "Hey, how you doing, Adam?" He said, "I'm a racist." And I was like, "All right, tell me about that." And so we had a very interesting conversation on his feelings and hatred towards certain people. And it was very, took me back a step. Like, what? Why? Why now? Why are we having this conversation? And you know this is, and this is a Christ follower. He said, "I'm a racist." And I said, you and I both know that that's not right. You and I both know that. And the thing is that very many of us have the same thing going on in our hearts, that our heart is dead towards the very people that Jesus came alive for. We all have preconceived judgments. Maybe it's about people that are homeless. Maybe it's people that didn't graduate high school or didn't go to college or can't hold a job. We all have preconceived judgments towards people. And our hearts in those moments are dead towards the very people that Jesus came alive for. We need, church, we need an awakening, that we would pray, "God, would you awaken our hearts, our dead hearts." Isaiah 29:13 says this. It says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's very easy to appear like everything's okay. It's easy to appear that your heart is okay and that you're fine. But in the inside, we can be cold, distant, lifeless towards the very same people that Jesus came alive for. So we looked at Ezekiel 37, where God gave Ezekiel a vision. This is the third vision of three in the book. And in this vision, God led him into a valley. And in this valley, it was overwhelmingly full of dry bones. Very interesting vision. And this was a symbol for the judgment and state of Israel, for their rebellion. And the Lord brought Ezekiel to this vision. And so God asked Ezekiel in a very important question in verse 3, he said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, if you're in a valley, and if you could just think about this, you're in a valley and it's overwhelmingly full of dry bones. There's no life. There's no muscle. This has been dead for quite some time, overwhelmingly full of dry bones. And if God were to ask you, "Can these bones live?" all of us would answer a resounding no, these bones cannot live. It doesn't make sense. Of course not. Verse 4, then he said to me, God said, "Prophesy to these bones, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Verse 5, this is what the sovereign Lord said to these bones, "I will make breath enter you. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life." Verse 6, "I will attach tendons to you. I will make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put what? I'll put breath in you. And you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded. And as he was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones started to come together bone to bone. And if you could just picture this, this would wig a lot of people out. Like, there's a valley full of bones, death, stillness. And then all of a sudden, these bones started to rattle. They started to make a noise. And all of a sudden, these bones started to not just be a pile of bones, but they started to become people. They started to form. And Ezekiel's seeing all of this. Verse 8, Ezekiel looked. Tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. And this is very important. What's it say? But there was no what? There was no breath in them. And so last week we talked about, you can appear like everything's okay. You can appear like everything's fine, but if you do not have breath, you are still dead. And it's the same way. If you do not have God's Spirit in you, you are still dead. You can appear churchy. You can appear holy. You can appear spiritual. But if you do not have the Spirit of God in you, you are still dead. And that's where we left off last week. Kind of an interesting place to leave. And so I left us that we need to awaken our hearts, oh God. We need to awaken our dead hearts, because our hearts are dead to the very people that Jesus came alive for. So we can appear like everything's okay. We can appear fine. But if we do not have the Spirit of God in us, we are still dead. So there was a quote from Louis Giglio that I had us remember. And so I want us to go back to that again. Can you pull that up, Pam? There's a quote. It's not in there? That's right. It's in your handout. And so I'm going to have this side of the room be bad and this side of the room be dead. All right, you're going to get on what I'm saying. Okay, so sin doesn't make us bad. Sin makes us dead. Sin doesn't make us bad. It makes us dead. So sin doesn't make us bad, okay? Sin makes us dead. See, I think we would start taking our sin that we keep entertaining. I think we would start taking our sin more seriously if we stopped thinking about, oh, it just makes me bad for a moment, rather than this makes me dead. We know that sin causes spiritual death, that sin separates us from the Father. And so oftentimes we just toy around with sin, or we just say, well, you know, I've been good for a long while. I kind of deserve this. No, we're at that moment, we're thinking that sin's bad and that we can be better. Instead of thinking, no, this actually makes me dead. Sin is killing me. We would start taking sin more seriously if we saw it as Sin is something that causes spiritual death rather than it just makes me kind of bad. So not only that, sin doesn't make us bad, sin makes us dead. But Jesus came to make us, or Jesus didn't come to make us good. Okay, you guys are good, you guys are alive, right? So Jesus didn't come to make us good. Jesus came to make us
alive.
So Jesus didn't come to make us
good.
Jesus came to make us
alive.
See, we think often that, man, if I just go to church, if I just attend Sundays, or if I just act like an okay person, then I will be seen as good. But Jesus isn't concerned about us being good or bad. He's concerned about us being alive and bringing us back to life. Sin doesn't make us bad, it makes us dead. And Jesus isn't concerned about us being good, but he wants to make us alive. So we left off there. Verse 8, there was no breath in them. So these bodies in this vision were still very dead. Verse 9, let's continue on. It says this, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, verse 10, as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet. A what? A vast army. Does somebody have the English Standard Version of Bible? Somebody have that? What does that say? An exceedingly great army. Not just an okay, mediocre, this is kind of cool army, but a vast army. An exceedingly great army. What do armies do? They wait for orders from their commanding officer. They stand at attention. They ready themselves and are totally dependent on the Word of God. Because why? Because that's the only reason they are alive. This vast army that God has created from what? From dead bones. God created this vast army. And it's not just an okay, big, that's kind of cool army. It's an exceedingly great army. And the only reason it's alive is because of the breath of God. It's the only reason. It's not because they mustered up the strength, that the bones said, come on guys, we can do this. There was none of that. It was God. It was because of God that these bones became a vast army. And I'm reading this and I'm studying it, and all I'm thinking about is the church. This is the story of the church. That's the story of all of us, is that we were dead in our what? We were dead in our sins. We were a pile of bones, no life in us, not enough strength we can muster to make us alive because we were dead. But then God breathed his breath into us, which made us alive. Verse 11, this is interesting. It says this, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They, the people of Israel, say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. This is the people of Israel saying it. The people of Israel are saying, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. So the people of Israel at this point have no hope. They don't see hope at this point. They acknowledge and proclaim that they're done for. We're finished. No hope. We are dried up bones with no life in us. Our hope has been cut off. So if God were to ask Israel this question, whether the bones in the vision could live or not, they would answer a resounding no. If God were to ask Israel, can these bones live? Israel would say, no chance. There's no hope. All hope is gone. Even though all hope was gone, God still had a plan. Look at me. God told Ezekiel this in verse 12. Verse 12 says this, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel." Get this. This is nuts. He's saying, I'm going to open the graves and bring you up from them. Okay, that's exciting stuff. I'm going to bring you back to the land of Israel. Now, what we know about Israel is that Israel has not been faithful. If you go back in Israel's or in Ezekiel's book, he calls Israel a faithless bride. He uses this harsh language that you have been faith, you've been promise breakers. You've been faithless to God. And God, still, from Genesis 2 all the way back, God is trying to bring redemption back to how things used to be in Genesis 1 when things were perfect. God says, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. So because of your hopelessness, Israel, because you are hopeless, Israel, and I have a great love for you, says God, I'm going to open your grave that you've been laid in, and I'm going to do what? I'm going to bring you up from them. I'm going to bring you back to the place you once were. In other words, God's saying this, I promise I will restore you. God's saying this to Israel and to us this morning. He's saying, I promise I will restore you. I will give you a new heart. I will create in you a new heart. We are Israel, church. We are Israel. We are the ones by ourselves that cannot see hope. We too are far into this valley full of dead bones. And here's the truth, though, is that God can open up the grave in which you and I are laying in, and he will open up that grave, and he will bring us up out of it and resurrect that area in our heart that is dead for the very people that Jesus came alive for. God is saying, I will restore your marriage. I will restore your broken friendships. I will restore and I will heal your land. I will make all things new. I'm going to restore hope. I will bandage up your wounds. I will dust you off. I will send you out. I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to give you a new heart. I am going to be with you, Israel, and church. So you may be wondering this. Why in the world would God want to bring Israel back? Why would God want to bring Israel back? They've been faithless. Why would God want to bring these dead bones back to life? It's because of this. Love. It's because of love. God loves us. God loves us so much. God loves us enough to save us, even though we've been faithless. Even though we've been promise breakers. God loves us enough to save us, and also this, God loves us enough to not leave us as we are. He's not okay with that. He loves us. He loves us enough to save us, and he loves us enough to not leave us as we are. He loves us that much. Verse 13, it says this, Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open up your graves and bring you up from them. Verse 14, I will put my spirit in you and you will what? You will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. In other words, when the Spirit of God is present, when the Spirit of God is active, God's people truly live. Then, in response, the byproduct of God's Spirit being within us, we truly do start to live. We will know that the Lord has spoken and that he will accomplish in us what he has set to do. This is the gospel, that God created us out of love. And even though we were unfaithful to our Creator, the relationship's been tarnished, and because of sin, we've died. We're completely hopeless, just like in the vision of Ezekiel. There was complete hopelessness in our situation. And this sin that causes death also causes eternal separation from a loving God. And because He has such a great love for us, He sent someone to save us. His name's Jesus. And He came in response to our rebellion and our faithlessness. Jesus died our death. He laid in the valley of dry bones that we created. And we were the ones that put Him there. And He gave us His life, His breath, so that we can live. And God is inviting you and I, not just to be in an okay, not just a mediocre, not just a kind of cool army, but He's inviting you and I to be a part of an exceedingly great army. And this army doesn't just stay stagnant. This army just doesn't do anything. An exceedingly great army takes this story of hope, the story of hope that you were once dead, and now you are alive because of Jesus. That story of hope that you have, to take it to the ends of the earth. To take our story of hope to a city that's broken and full of darkness. And so if you accept this love from God, if you accept what's been said, the byproduct of accepting this love is now living for God, that you've been dead and now you're raised to life with Christ. And when you live for God, I was telling some people today that whenever you live for God, you're still going to have the same hurts, habits, and hang-ups. You're still going to struggle. You're still going to mess up. But here's the reality, though. You get Jesus. You get Jesus. The people are going to let you down. People are going to mess up. You're going to get frustrated. Life is going to throw you curveballs. But this time, instead of just trying to muster up your own strength, you get the peace of God. You get Jesus. You get His Spirit inside you. You get His breath that gives you life. You won't be perfect, but you get Jesus. And that's the gospel. God is building an army to tell the world who He is. And He wants to use people that have a story of hope, that I was once dead, I was lifeless, and then God entered the picture, and God breathed His life into me and created in me a new heart. My heart used to be dead, but now it's alive. In a moment, we're going to revisit something that I did last week, which I turned off all the lights and closed the blinds. And so we're going to do that in a minute. And so if you guys could get in your positions to turn off the lights and shut the blinds. You guys are smart people. So I know that you guys know what's going to happen when we turn off the lights. And I just want to revisit it because I'm going to take a moment to take it a step further. So if you could shut the blinds and go ahead and turn off the lights and turn the screens off. You can turn all the lights off. It can be completely dark. It's all good. So as you notice, the room's dark. And as we start to live in darkness, something that naturally happens is that our eyes adjust to the darkness. We talked about this last week. Our eyes adjust to the darkness, and the same thing happens in our hearts whenever we start to entertain sin. Whenever we start to live in darkness, things that used to bother me don't really bother me anymore. Why? Because my heart's adjusting to the darkness. But here's what happens whenever we accept this story of hope, is that we have light. This is, my glow stick's bigger than your guys', so what's up? We have this story of hope, though. And that, I mean, I don't know what it is, but something as simple as this, I could just look at for a long time, and I don't know why. It's just something fascinating. Like, it's in darkness, and you have light, and so you all have a glow stick. So why don't you guys go ahead, muster up the strength and go and crack your glow sticks. If you don't know how to work it, give it a little shake. Crack your glow stick and hold it up. You start to notice now that in darkness, go ahead and hold it up in the air. Help your neighbor if it's a little stout. They're kind of stout glow sticks. Now, look around. Take a minute, look around. What do you notice? What do you notice? Different colors? Yeah. There's different colors looking around here. And if you're watching the podcast, it's really not doing any justice. Everyone's in a dark room holding up glow sticks. It's pretty cool. Now, so we're holding up these glow sticks in darkness. Now, hold your glow sticks up still. Now, I want the lights turned back on, please. Okay, now, you can still see the glow sticks, but they're not nearly as vibrant as they once were. They're not really as bright as they once were. Here's the reality, guys. Whenever we accept this story, whenever we have this story of hope, this light, and we don't take it into darkness, we're lamps in a room that's already lit. These lights fulfill their purpose when they are taken to darkness. But oftentimes we get this story of hope. I don't want people to think I'm, you know, we just kind of do this. We kind of hide it. Maybe we're ashamed of it. But this light fulfills its purpose when it's in dark places. There was a story of a mom who took her daughter to Walmart, and they were getting a flashlight. And the daughter was about 5 or 6 years old, and the daughter was kind of excited over buying a flashlight. So whenever you buy a flashlight, you just start shining it, even though you don't really need to, but you start shining it. And the daughter was so excited, and she was like, "Mom, Mom, Mom, can we go find darkness? So we can shine the light? Can we go find darkness?" And if the daughter could just understand just what kind of, how spiritually mature that question is. Like, if we were to take our the light, the story of hope, that we were once dead, now we're brought to life. Like, that story of hope is only fulfilling its purpose if it's taken into darkness. But when we don't, we're lamps in a room that's already lit. Can we go find darkness? Could we go to find dark places? Now, whenever I say darkness, could we go to darkness? Sometimes our mind goes, could we go to the bad places? Okay? And whenever I say darkness, I don't mean bad places. I mean lost places. Like, whenever we go to the dark places, it's not that we're saying we need to go to the bad people. We need to go to the lost people. Because guess what? We've been found, right? We need to go to the lost people. We need to go to the dark places, the places that don't have a story of hope. We need to go to the people that are looking for hope and give them hope. Give them the story of hope that I was once dead and now I'm brought to life. And you can have that too. The story of hope. Fulfilling our purpose by taking our light to the dark places. Because otherwise, we're lamps in a room that's already lit. Matthew 5:14 says this, "You are the light of the world." You, church, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And here's the truth. Light always, always, always trumps darkness. The darkness can never snuff out a light. The light always wins. Light always trumps darkness. And what's that saying to you and me this morning? that the light of Jesus Christ can never be snuffed out. He will accomplish what he set forth to do. And the question is, do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to be a part of what God's doing, that will take this light that you've been given, your story of hope, and find the dark places, not the bad places, but the lost, the hurting, the broken, the people that need light, the valley of dry bones. On the back of your note page, you may notice just a few different places around Kansas City, places that we partner with, such as Hope Faith Ministries, which their overarching goal at Hope Faith Ministries is to eliminate homelessness in Kansas City. There's Micah Ministry that feeds those that are homeless. There's Kansas City Rescue that house and feed the homeless overnight. There's City Union Mission. You may have heard of these places for some time. And this is not an exhaustive list of this is the only things Kansas City's doing. But these are just four places that do see a need when it comes to the homeless. And there's an address and a website that we, church, can be a part of taking our story of hope to a place of need, of people that need a story of hope. There's even the Inspire program at Independence School District. Inspire is just a program where you can meet with a student for lunch once a week. Many of us do have a lunch break at work. And I can only, I do help out with Inspire, and I do eat with the student, and he only gets 20 minutes. So it takes me 20 minutes to drive there, 20 minutes to eat, and 20 minutes to drive back. It only takes me an hour to meet with a kid once a week who needs hope. There's kids that are broken and hurting. And something as simple as being a consistent voice in a student's life whenever life is very inconsistent for them. Something else that is practical is blessing bags, which is what we used to call them in college, but it's just a gallon Ziploc bag with basic needs in it, with socks, maybe a $5 bill, a bottle of water, a package of razors, soap, shampoo. You and I both know that we hate it whenever we are at a stoplight, whenever there's someone asking for something. Well, this is a way that you can give them and meet practical needs of theirs to help them clean up and to help them give them the nutrition that they need. It's just a simple way that you can help and give hope to the hurting and broken people in this world. And even beyond that, sometimes in life groups we can rack our brains about what series do we want to do next. And instead of asking that question, what series do you guys want to study next? How about where can we serve next? Where can we go and serve? What would it be like if at life groups, instead of us meeting together, which meeting together in houses is so vitally important, and it's awesome that we do that, but what if for a short time in life groups, what if instead of meeting this week, how about we go meet at Hope Faith Ministries? Or how about we meet on a Saturday morning instead, and we'll go serve here? What would that look like if our life groups started to say, we need to take our light, our story of hope, to the dark places? Not the bad places, but the hurting, the broken. What would that look like? So I want to give us a moment to respond. That many of us have, if we can really take an honest assessment, that many of us have a heart that is dead to the very things and people that Jesus came alive for. So how's your heart? Maybe you have never accepted Christ to be the Lord of your life, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond, that I need Jesus. I need to have this life breathed into me. Change my heart, oh God. So we're going to be here in the front. If you would like prayer, or if you just need a moment to respond and confess and repent, you can come here to the front and kneel. But we just want to give you a moment to respond to what God's calling you to do. You have been given a story of hope. What are you going to do with it? choose. Where are you going to take your life? It can't stay here. It's got to go. The gospel must go. So you've been given relationships. You've been given people that do not know the Lord. Where's your light need to go? And as a life group, where could we serve next? Where could we collectively as a group, where could we take our life? There's a world that is hurting and broken. There's a city God has placed us in. But the minute we walk out these doors, we know that we're on the mission field. We know that the relationships we've built, God has put us in those places on purpose, with a purpose and for purpose. So where are we going to take our life? Thanks so much for joining us this morning. You guys can have your glow sticks. I will let you have them. So thank you so much for being here. Love on some people on your way out. God bless.